Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
God's doing a real number on all of us at Kingdom Faith. Yeah, what's he doing? He's doing a word of reforming, reformation of our lives. What does that mean? In a sense, there's a level that we've lived at, that we've compromised or lived at, and God's actually the Spirit of God, the power of God, the fire of God is shaking everything up again, yeah, and shaking it up. And God wants us to have that confidence to walk as true disciples. True disciples walking with him, and also being a true disciple, being salt and being light out there where it matters, in our community and the people that we touch and love. And even the small acts of love go a long way, don't they? The small acts of love. So, because we love him, we want to walk in obedience to him. And because we love him, we love his word. We love the very words that he speaks. Because remember Jesus said, you know, I don't speak of my own. He only spoke what the Father gave him to speak. So every encounter that you see in the Gospels, everything you see about Jesus is a reflection of the Father heart of God. Every time that he challenges the people and challenges situations, you know, when they brought in that the prostitute and everyone was going to condemn her, you know, Jesus said, who of you hasn't sinned? You know, cast the first stone. And then, you know, the older guys begin to leave first, and then, you know, and then the young ones, the zealous ones, they stay, but they couldn't. There's nothing they could do. Why? Because Jesus was full of grace and truth. He didn't want her to stay in bondage, but he didn't condemn her. He lifted her out of the bondage and brought her into a place of freedom. But she had a choice then to walk in that freedom, didn't she? Psalm 33, I love this. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. That same mouth that speaks tenderly, that speaks in love, that speaks in kindness, and that speaks in mercy. That same mouth that is, in a sense, that lived and walked among us on this actual planet. That same person spoke creation into being. And the breath of God there is like the Spirit of God. So praise God, we've got the Word of God. And we've got the Spirit of God. And you see, his words are life. And in amongst a world where there's tragedy, you've only got to switch on the news at the moment, haven't you? Kingdom against kingdom, people against people, people group against people group. You know, the words. You know, when people say six sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Not the truth. Words have power. Words can damage. Words can steal, kill and destroy. But God wants us to be vessels of life, vessels of truth, vessels that speak great things over people, life over people. Is that true? Amen. And I also love Isaiah 55. It says, as the rain, as Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without making without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Isn't it great when you meet someone and you speak life over them? You speak the word over them. And that word, because it is full of the Holy Spirit, because of the person of the Holy Spirit inside of, and it's speaking life, that word has the power to change, has the power to transform, has the power. And God is faithful to his word. Amen. God is faithful to his word. And he will accomplish everything that he says he wants to accomplish. Don't you love in Matthew 4 as well? When Jesus is in the desert and the Holy Spirit's taken him out there, he's taken him out there because he had to overcome. He had to overcome temptation. He had to overcome the enemy's strategies. If he didn't do that, we wouldn't be standing here tonight. But because he overcame, how did he overcome? He said, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So what a wonderful thing, in a sense. Jesus was showing the way. When we're facing hostile situations, trouble, difficulty, what do we look to? We look to Jesus. For me, I've been interested in astronomy, not astrology, astronomy, for many, many years, and it's given me a love for the vastness of who God is, and I think that's one of the things in me. I love to worship, and because I know the enormities of the galaxies and the stars and everything like that. And what's wonderful is, you see, if you're in amongst circumstances that are tough, have any of us here been in tough circumstances before? What do we tend to do? We tend to either look at the circumstances or look at ourselves. And Jesus so wonderfully in his word says, fix your eyes upon me, because I am the author and the perfecter of your faith. Lift up your eyes. The moment we lift up our eyes, we see how great he is. We see how big he is. And it puts everything in the context. It puts everything in the context. Doesn't mean to say that we're going to have to bypass the circumstances. We will have to walk through them. But how do we walk through them? I love this about Jesus. He said, if you haven't got the scripture, he said of himself, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. Yeah? Are you hungry for Jesus? Are you hungry for him? Are you hungry for his purposes? Are you hungry? Do you just want to know him more than anything else? Jeremiah 15, verse 16. You know, one of the prophets, people have got this wonderful thing. A prophet was like a person who's really heard from God and spoke what God was really saying and into the circumstances. And it wasn't, you know, Jeremiah's life, it wasn't an easy ride. He had a tough, 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 tough call in his life. And in amongst this, there's this little gem that says, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord Almighty. When your words came. You know, sometimes we hear people say things sometimes. You see, what we feed on the Word of God. God wants us full of the Word, full of the living Word, because by the Word of our testimony, the Word of truth, we will overcome. I'm going to share now, timing, hopefully I've got enough time. I'm going to share a true story, okay? And it's of a missionary or like a preacher who goes out to China. It's going to take four and a half minutes to do this, but I want to show you something because it's to do with the words that we carry. What are you carrying in your life? How do you see the Word of God? And are you ready? So listen, a few years ago, I made a teaching trip to China. 20 leaders of the house church movement from a nearby province came together for leadership training. I was told to be ready to stand up at 8 a.m. and teach until 6 p.m., thankfully with a short break for lunch. We'd repeat the regime for 3 days. It was fatiguing, demanding, and one of those most moving experiences of my life. They endured a 13-hour train ride, meeting at a predetermined location. They arrived alone or in twos so they would not arouse suspicion. Gathering together in a small, stifling room, they sat cross-legged on a wooden floor. Most were humble farmers. Every face was weathered with deep lines that told stories of profound trial and supernatural perseverance. Sometimes when you speak to a large group, you hope that 20 to 25% on a good day will actually absorb what you're saying. In this group, it was every person in the room. The huge smiles on their faces brightened their simple clothing. They were hungry and eager to hear from the narrators of the Bible. Their eagerness would extract the best from me. They were soaking in everything as though they've never been in such a meeting again, which was certainly a possibility. When they raised their hands in worship, I saw at least one man with scars from the shackles that had been in the camp, his companions in prison. Shortly after we began to get us more acquainted, I asked them to say a little bit more about who they were. One reported with joy that he'd just been released from serving his fifth 3-year term in jail. His crime, faith in an unseen Messiah. How many others of you have spent time in prison for your faith, I asked. 18 of the 20 raised their hands. If government authorities discovered this non-registered religious meeting, what would happen, they answered. We would be given a 3-year prison sentence and we would be deported within 24 hours. Aren't you afraid, I inquired. No, they said with a quiet confidence. We are not afraid, and if you teach us for another day, we will stay. I commanded them for their faith, all the while wondering why they weren't teaching me instead of the other way around. Since I knew that each of these veterans, saints, oversaw large numbers of house churches, I continued my let's get acquainted session by asking, how many people do you oversee in all your house churches combined? After a quiet moment of calculation, one spoke up, pausing for effect. 22 million. I couldn't believe I just heard what I'd heard. 22 million, I stammered. Yes, he nodded, 22 million. After a few moments, I caught my breath. I think I would have passed out. I caught my breath and launched into the teaching. We brought 16 Bibles to pass out, leaving a few of the leaders to share with one another. I had them to turn to Peter, to 2 Peter chapter 1. As we were about to read it out aloud, one elderly woman handed her Bible to another leader. I thought that was a bit strange since Bibles were so scarce, but I didn't call it to attention to the matter. As we began to read, I understood why she was willingly giving up her Bible. She quoted the whole chapter from memory during a short break. I asked her how she memorized so much. I have memorized much more, she replied, through one of the interpreters. But how do you memorize so much, I asked, when there are so few Bibles available? In prison, she said, pushing back, I went on. But if you had a Bible, wouldn't they confiscate it right away? Yes, she answered. So people brought me scriptures written on pieces of paper. And what if the guards found you with those, I pressed? Wouldn't they take away those as well? Yes. That is why I memorized the scriptures as quickly as I could. Now just listen to her last statement. I think this is amazing. You see, they can take away the paper, but they cannot take away what I have already hidden in my heart. Isn't that amazing? You can take everything away. You see, that's how precious the Word of God is. It's powerful. That Word of God that we hold on to is powerful. Imagine in our society taking away all the concordances, all the social media, everything away, not even having our Bibles. Isn't that quite a challenging thought? But the Word of God. Where is the Word of God? We know where the Word of God is. It's in our mouths and it's in our hearts, because that's what we want to confess and speak out. Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? How many young men and women have we got in the room today? You can put your hands up, everybody. As far as eternity, we're quite young. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And right in the midst of this, there's this lovely little gem. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands, for I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I think that's absolutely amazing. Again, in Romans, I've said this before, Romans 8, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. Proverbs 4:23-24. Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. In society, have you realized it's quite negative out there? Yeah? It's negative because the prince of this power, of the power of the kingdom of darkness, is still, in a sense, having havoc amongst the human race for a period of time. But you see, we have this amazing resource. But the most important thing, we're in situations. And if, in Proverbs, I think it's so wonderful. It says, above all else, above everything else, our hearts are where we need to guard. Because we don't actually want to be, we want to be salt and we want to be life. We don't actually want to be like the culture. Because behind the culture is peer pressure. Yeah, peer pressure to pull you in, peer pressure to make you like someone, or peer pressure for you to be negative. Put away perversity from your mouth. Now, we don't want to use our mouths to criticize. The power of our words to be destructive. We don't want to, what is wrong to come out of our mouths and cause something to happen that causes damage. I'm just going to share a personal story just for a few minutes. When I first got saved, I've shared it in the Crawley congregation this morning, so here goes. I used to work in a nappy factory. Da, 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 da. I've seen more nappies than mothers have changed in the course of their lives. I mean that. This machine that I used to work on for about 8 years used to turn out about 150,000 nappies per shift, you know, so you hear what I'm saying. And so here I am, I'm a new Christian. I just received, all I knew of the word was very simple things. Because I'd just been forgiven, and I knew the forgiveness of God, it was kind of, that's the thing that I was living with, you know, to forgive. It was really the basic thing. So at the end of the shift, I'm finishing on the machines, and we've got lots of other blokes around me. Huge factory. On a Friday night, they want to close the machines down. And so what they do, my boss said to me, I want the machines closed down at this time. And some of these other guys, they've got to clean all these machines now, which means they're working through the night. And this big guy comes up to me. He's about 6'6", he's about 4 foot wide. And he says, why haven't you turned your machine off? And I said, because I'm supposed to knock it off at there. And right, so here I am, a new believer, right in the middle of this situation. They saw a transformation in my life. They saw the before and after. You know, before I was swearing, effing and a jeffing, and they saw the new person, which is quite a strange thing if you're working in a factory. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up, you know, he comes up to me and he goes, if you don't turn this machine off, I'm going to smash your face in. I thought, well, this is a great challenge for a Friday evening. This is a great end to the week. I really love that. And so I just learned a little bit, you know, some of the things I learned, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's what Jesus said. And I just said, no. So here I am now in God's hands. Yeah. And at the end of the shift, you know, I walk out and it's like, this is probably going to be the last 15 minutes of my life. You know, this is probably, I might as well enjoy these last 15 minutes because I'm going to get pummeled by all these men. But thankfully, nothing happened. The following Monday, he came up and he says, you know, something like, I won't use the words that he was using. He says, you know, I've been a right plonker, and I was really out of order, wasn't I, Gary? You know, because I thought he was going to get me. You know, I thought that was it. See, what was behind that? You see, it was a spirit of intimidation. It was a spirit to confine us and to take me off of, you know, I made a decision that night to forgive him. I forgave that guy. And God turned it around. I was hoping he would, otherwise I wouldn't be. But God turned it around because it was like, that's, you know, I'd used a little bit of the word that I knew. I want to show you something now, because I want you to just really understand some things. In Christ, most of us, if you aren't in Christ, come up to me at the end and pray if you don't know Jesus. But most of us would understand who we are in Christ. What does that actually mean? We have an enemy. And this enemy of ours wants to steal, kill, and destroy. What's his tactic? What does he want to do? He uses intimidation, like I've just heard. He uses words. He uses accusation. He even uses other Christians. He does. He uses people of the family, people that we're close to. It says in 1 Peter, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. In parts of the world, people are undergoing incredible sufferings for this very reason. You see, when we're in Christ, what's this all about? I'm a believer. I couldn't, if I'd have got this printed, the printer would only do A3. So you can imagine, if you can just bear with me, understand A3, understand here. I am here, a new creation in Christ. And I'm going to read you a little bit now, because I want to show you something. There's a little bit about Watchman Nee, but I want to show you it for a reason. It says, in the person of Jesus Christ, God has already conquered. He has given us his victory to hold. Within the sphere of Christ, within this who we are, the enemy's defeat is already a fact. The church has been put there to keep him defeated. Satan is the one who must do the counter-attacking in his efforts to dislodge us from that sphere. For our part, we need not struggle to occupy ground that is already ours. What does the enemy try to do? Rich, can I borrow you? Just right here. What the enemy does is, he'll use words. You can have a pop at me now. All right? You can, only in this. He uses words. He uses accusation. He uses intimidation. What's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to influence us to take our eyes off of Jesus and push us off of who we are and our identity. Yeah? Okay?
Yeah. Tell me when you want to start.
whenever you want. You see, what happens, you see, what because of who we are in Christ, we can be secure. Jesus, you know, the word is quite simple. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He says, in Christ we are conquerors. No, more than a conqueror. Just turn to your neighbor and say you're more than a conqueror. Thank you. In him, therefore, we stand thus today. We do not fight for victory. We don't fight for the victory. We fight from victory. We do not fight in order to win, but because of Christ, we have already won. Amen. Overcomers are those who rest in the victory already given to them by God. We're resting in. You see, so you can be in a situation like I was practically, and probably a lot further in the last 26 years. I've had a few of those. But we're in Christ. He is our victory. He is our breakthrough. He is our security. He is our freedom. This is where we stand. So what happens is the tactics of the enemy, by using words and other people, The enemy wants us to take our eyes off of Jesus, get in the flesh, and start fighting from here. He says, our battles are not flesh and blood. It's not about flesh and blood. It's about all the yucky, horrible enemy, the demons, the stuff like that out there that want to try and kill, steal and destroy. Our battle. Yes, we have the fight of, but our fight is the fight of faith. Yeah? And you see, as an overcomer, no matter where you go, if I could walk around the room with this in Christ on me, no matter where I go, but that's true for you. As you walk, wherever you walk around, you are in Christ Jesus. You're an overcomer. He is your victory. And so when people say stuff to you that's negative, you don't have to operate in the same spirit back. Because the spirit that's operating in you is now the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to speak life over people. You know, I had to forgive. How many times do we have to forgive? How many times do we have to put up that shield of faith? What happens is the enemy shoots those arrows. We're not products of our past failure. We're products in a sense of Christ's victory on the cross. Amen? We're not products of what any man has said. Some person might have spoken this something over you. And as we believe that, you see, we live under the cloud of that. We don't need to. Because he is our victory. He is our breakthrough. He is our freedom. He is our deliverer. You are in the overcomer. You can't be overcoming more than you are. In a sense, you're living in the one who has overcome. But we have to make a decision to guard our hearts, for it's the wellspring of life. We have to choose life. We have to choose to speak what God is speaking in something. You ever felt condemned by a mistake and a failure before? Well, what's the word say? Exactly. It doesn't feel like it, but we're not basing it on feelings. We're basing it on a dynamic reality of what God has done, what he has achieved on the cross. Amen? So people can speak, you know, like some curses over you, hereditary stuff over you. You know, they want to declare stuff over you. Christ became a curse so that you would not be cursed. People speak stuff. But you see, if we buy into it, if we believe it, it has power. We almost like give it power. But God, 2,000 years ago, broke the power of words, broke the rubbish, broke the negativity, triumphed over all that the enemy done by triumphing over them on the cross. And so for us now, you see, we do not fight in order to win, but because of Christ, we have already won. Overcomers are those who rest in the victory. So we're walking 24/7 in the armor of God, resting in the victory. If someone's spoken sickness over you, that is not the reality. I don't need to believe, you know, someone's speaking lies over you. You see, those words, if we let them come and penetrate our hearts and our minds, and we don't, you know, what is the one of the scriptures that's really great? It's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I love the truth version here. It's fantastic. Pastor Collins' truth version. True, we live in the world, but we do not fight our battles as people who belong to the world. We have other weapons to fight with, not those of the world. By contrast, our weapons have God's power that shatters the enemy's strongholds that oppose us. With the weapons of truth, we demolish rational arguments that oppose the walk of faith. We have the answer to every false way of thinking that seeks to undermine the truth about God. Now listen to this one. We exercise authority in the way we think, denying negative, rebellious thoughts and accepting only those that glorify Jesus so that we might obey him. We, you know, all of us are in this warfare. It does exist. You step out of the room. Yeah. You step out into the street. You switch the telly on. This warfare exists. But you see, we take captive every thought. We make every thought obedient to Christ. Someone comes up to you in the street and says, you're worthless. You know, you're a useless waste of space. That is not the truth. We're not being defined. We're not being shaped by those very words. Why? Because we're standing secure here in Christ. We're holy, loved, healed, blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mercy. Mercy has paid a visit to our house. And we're changed forevermore because God has had mercy upon us. But we don't need to live under fear and condemnation and guilt because it's not part of us. It went to the cross. We have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but the life I live by faith right now in the Son of God. He is my identity. He is my freedom. He is my breakthrough. Amen. Amen. It's true. It's true because it's true. Yeah. So we're not fighting to get a victory in something. If we try and do that in ourselves, you know, we've kind of lost the battle. But the fight that we have is the one, it says in 1 Timothy 6, so fight the good fight of faith, living in the good of the eternal life given you when you were called, when you were made, your public confession of faith in Christ. And we know, I think in Ephesians, therefore we put on the full armor of God. When the day of evil comes, me and Rachel, we've had situations in our own life when literally it felt like hell turned up at our front door, didn't it? Situation with our family. Terrible, terrible stuff that we had to deal with. This stuff comes. This stuff happens. But I love the word, stand firm then. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take the shield of faith, which you can extinguish. We can extinguish all of the fiery darts of the enemy. Because he just wants to penetrate through into our brains, penetrate through a lie or something, for us then to take hold of that. But we don't need to. Our shield of faith, we put it up. No, that's not the truth. I'm not accepting that over my life. Amen. I want us to stand. Is that okay? I want us to stand. Toby, where are you? Okay. We're just going to just... It's okay, a couple of minutes. If any of us in this room have knowingly before God where we've spoken stuff over someone else's life, we've spoken negativity, we've spoken negative things about our own lives. First thing that we need to do, this star-breathing God who emptied himself down into the shape of a man, that went to the cross, that bore all of our rebellion upon his very body. Jesus has had mercy upon us. Jesus has forgiven us. And what I want you to do now, I just want you to ask the Lord for forgiveness of things that you've said. Things that weren't in line with the Word of God over your life. Things that you kind of haven't lived in the true identity of who you are. Your own opinion of someone or something, and you've spoken something negatively. Right now, just say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Every negative thought, for every negative word, for every careless word that I've spoken. I could have even spoken it over my children and not realized I did it. Jesus, I ask for your cleansing. in your forgiveness tonight. Just submit afresh yourself to the Lord now. Spirit, soul, that's your mind, your will, your emotions, your body. Say, Lord Jesus. Jesus, I submit to you afresh tonight. I break every curse. Anything that anybody has spoken over me. Any words of condemnation. I break the power of those words now. In your mighty name. I fix my eyes on Jesus. Author and perfecter of my faith. I choose to speak what is good. I choose to be a true disciple that speaks life and blessing over every person that I meet. In Jesus' wonderful name. We're just going to sing together, Behind Lifted Up. We did it this morning. And we're just going to worship the Lord, because we're going to say, God, I'm not going to live. I'm not going to live here. I'm not going to fight here. I'm going to live in this security of who I am.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.